Successful people learn how to make their mind work for them. I'm David Nagel, and this is the Successful Mind Podcast. Hello, everyone. This is David Nagel, and this is the Successful Mind Podcast. Just as a reminder out there, if you want to send questions in to tsm@davidnagel.com, or you can leave us a voicemail with your question and we'll play it live on the show. It's speakpipe.com/David Nagel. Okay, so I get a tremendous amount of questions. People are always asking me, how did I approach my success? What did I do? And it seems like no matter how I answer this question when I tell people my story, it's like there's not enough. Like they're not, that, you know, you can see that they want more, they want more, they want more. So I'm going to give everybody a run through on the things that I did to work up to starting my business and then what it looked like, what it kind of has looked like over the last 20 years in a relation to where you are, because I think you will, as you listen to this, you're going to say, oh, I'm in this place is where David was. This is kind of where I am right now. And what does it take? So there's a couple of little caveats here that I want to toss in. When I started originally studying in 1993, right, there was no internet. I didn't even know where to go look for books. I went to the library, obviously, but I didn't know that there was a self-help section. I didn't know there was professional development. And I was just trying to find books that would answer questions that I had in my mind, but it's not like you had Google where you could just type in the question and boom, there's an answer with, you know, 5,000 different resources that you could go look at. So one of the things that especially with people that want to be coaches and consultants, I'll have some people come up to me and they will, they'll be like, I want to make a million. And I'm like, that's great. You know, I did too. What do you have? Like, what are your resources? What have you worked on? What is your skill set? What is your level of expertise? And they don't have one yet. Or it's only partially developed. And people forget that I studied for 7 years everything that there was to study around psychology and personal development and professional development and business that I could get my hands on. I literally went through a process where I stopped watching TV. I stopped going to movies. I took all the music out of my car and I basically turned it into a library where I was listening to books on tape and seminars on tape. And I used to drive 100 miles one way to work. So I had a significant amount of time that I used every day to basically educate myself. And I also listened to books and on tape and stuff when in the fill-in spaces of your day, like if you're waiting in a waiting room or something like that, I would be listening to something or reading something. So I put in, and I'll also say this, I was not studying to be a coach. I was studying to figure myself out. I was studying to find out who did I need to become, and I didn't even know that language then, right? Who did I need to become in order to find the business, find my purpose, become a millionaire? Like, who did I need to become? What did I need to know in order for this to happen? And I did all of this while I was working a job for another company. So there was, like I said, it was a process of 7 years of consistent study and also going to seminars at that time. Now, once I got to the point where I really had learned a significant amount, worked on a lot of my own issues, I really isolated the desire that I had inside of myself to do something else. But I have to admit, I did not know what it was. I really did not know that I was going to be a speaker, an author, a consultant, a coach, an entrepreneur. I didn't know that I was going to do those things. I didn't know what it was going to be. And I think that for a lot of you that are out there, that you have that desire in your heart, but you don't know what it is. What's most important at this point in time for you is to follow where that desire is actually leading you. Now, how do you do that? Well, it points you in different directions. In other words, you'll have a desire to pick up a book, or you'll start seeing the same book over and over again, and it's coming into your awareness. You need to get that book. Or a seminar will start to come into your awareness over and over again. You need to go to that seminar. Or a person, a coach, a mentor will start to come into your awareness. You need to hire that person or learn from that person. I let my desire really guide me through my journey. And if you understand how desire is working, I'm not talking about wishing or hoping, okay? This is a true desire to be, do, or have more than you are now, and then learning to follow it so that you can get to the point where you can trust it. Because you've got several things going on at the same time. You've got your wishes, you've got your hopes, you've got your desires. You also have the programmed part of your mind that's telling you what's responsible. And actually, in many ways, that's trying to hold you back. And don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that you need to shuff off your responsibilities. You need to meet your responsibilities. But a lot of times, your conscious mind, your rational thinking mind, will tell you, "Oh, you can't follow that desire. You can't spend that money. You can't get involved in that program because you can't afford it." And I will tell you this right now. Nothing, not one thing that I did throughout my entire study process of 7 years could I ever afford to do. It all started with me selling my boat, and that funded my first idea to go to a seminar. From there, it was all credit cards. It was second loan on the mortgage. It was I financed my education to get where it is that I ended up getting to. So I, unless you've got a bundle of cash laying around, you're going to have to do the same thing. Now, I will give you also the flip side to that. I worked my ass off to make sure I paid those bills. It wasn't just spend a bunch of money and then wish and hope or practice the law of attraction that it's going to come in. And I think, and don't get me wrong, the law of attraction works as long as you put the work aspect into that law, right? It's not just about thinking different and feeling different, but it's about working different also, right? So just really take this in, because, I guess kind of my goal here also is to help you weed through any magical thinking that you may still have going on in your mind. It's such a dangerous thing on this journey to get sucked into magical thinking when you don't have the cause and effect wired in your mind to be an entrepreneur or a business owner. And you have to work through it. You have to realize, yeah, my mind is kind of going into a little bit of magical thinking right now. This is going to take work, and it's going to take more steps than I ever knew that it was going to take. But as long as you're willing to do that, you could have fantastic results. So let me just give you a little bit on desire here, and then you can go back and look at some of our other podcasts or some of our other material where I go into this lesson specifically a lot deeper. But I have the book in front of me, Working with the Law by Raymond Hollywell, and he talks about desire here. He says, "True desire represents the urge of life, seeking a fuller expression, and is kept alive by the continuous expectation of its fulfillment. It brings to us the ways and the means for its manifestation. The principle explains that no desire is felt until the supply is ready to appear, and no mind can be conscious of a need or a desire unless the possibility of its fulfillment already exists." Now, That's where I was. That's all I had in the beginning was the desire. You listening to this, there's probably a lot of you that really the thing that you have the most of is the desire to become successful, the desire to fulfill a vision, to leave a legacy, to do something different with your life. The problem that a lot of people have, and I had this too in the beginning, is impatience. We all get, you know, we love the idea of we can instantly manifest. If we have the desire, the money must be there, all of that. There's a big difference between following that desire and going out and getting that money and having it as a, like a one-time cash influx into your life and building a business that's a machine that keeps bringing that into your life on a regular basis. There's a very big difference. Just because you have the desire and you go out and you get it once does not mean that you've built any kind of machine or expertise that is going to keep bringing it in all of your life. And you might be thinking, you might be a little confused with that, thinking, but if I have the desire, wouldn't it keep coming in? It'll keep coming in if you build something from a cause and effect perspective, that will allow it to come in. That has to be there. You can't remove that from part of the equation. We all have a desire to do something, but we have to understand what is the cause of the thing that we want, and then we have to create that cause, and then that allows us to fulfill the desire. So then it starts to come in. So I'm studying like crazy while I'm working. I had a job that allowed me to have a tremendous amount of overtime, which I wanted because it was allowing me to be able to fulfill what I wanted to do, not just my responsibilities, but to pay the bills for me to go and do all this studying. As I got to a certain point in this journey, my desire kept increasing. I think it was becoming more and more clear in pointing me in the direction that I wanted to go. And even though I wasn't completely aware of it yet, it was speeding the process up because I was doing the work. You'll find that when you do the work, the process speeds up. So you're moving towards your end destination or the goal that you want to achieve faster. I was building momentum in everything that I was doing. I was meeting the right people. Those people were turning me on to things that I would have never even known about hadn't I said yes to the desire to begin with. So this is a process. Now, I do think that one of the reasons that it took me 7 years was because it was very difficult to find everything that I was looking for in that time frame because there was, like I said, there was no internet. And even when the internet did come out, it was not like it is today. So it was doing things the old way, you know. It was meeting people, getting recommendations. You know, I would listen to authors talk, and you would catch small references that they would make. They said, oh, I read this book, and I remember it changed my life or gave me an idea. And every time I heard about a book or a seminar that somebody mentioned, I would write it down. And then I would investigate it and get the book or go to the seminar myself. And everything was then, you know, continually advancing me in that direction. So then I get to the place where the desire is getting bigger. It's getting so such to the point where it's wanting to really express itself in my life that it's waking me up in the middle of the night, 2:20 every morning, if you've ever heard the story before. I went through this for a year. I was waking up at 2:20 every morning with a voice in my head that said, if you want to live your dream, you have to leave. And it was causing confusion because I didn't know what I was going to do to manifest the dream. I knew that I wanted to be a millionaire. I knew that I wanted to have my own business of some kind, but I had nothing outside of like the traditional experiences that we see. Like I would think to myself, should I buy a franchise? I was thinking about the things that I knew, which wasn't much. So it was really limiting my options as far as the scope of what I was thinking. And this is a true story. I didn't even consider how much knowledge I had around the topic of self-improvement, creating money, professional development. I don't know why. I just wasn't thinking of it. I did have a bit of a block there. So anyway, halfway through this year that I was going through of really discovering what my purpose was, I went and I started to seek some advice because I wasn't getting anywhere trying to process this on my own. And I talked to my mentor about it. And I said, you know, I'm having this dream every damn night. It's the same fucking message. And I just don't know what to do with it. I don't know what it means. And he said, well, what does it say? It says, if you want to live your dream, you have to leave. The first words out of his mouth to me were, just quit. And I was like, you're kidding me. Like, I can't quit my job. I've got a family. I've got responsibilities. And he said, he basically explained to me that I would always get what I need when I needed it because I was willing to do whatever it took in order to fulfill that. So he's like, it's not like you're going to end up homeless, or he's like, you'll do whatever it takes to get what it is that you need. Well, at that point in time, I didn't know that I believed that that was true. So I went back and I really did some research. I did not make this decision lightly at all. And still remember, I did not know what I was going to do. So I got to the point where I really believed in universal laws. I believed that I was being led in a direction. I believed that my own internal guidance system was at a point where I could really trust it. But this would be putting it to the biggest test that I had ever put it to. And that was going to be to walk away from my job, not tell anybody, and see what actually manifested in my life in form of opportunity. And that's what I did. And about 30 days after I left, I got an opportunity to be trained in a very specific seminar and then teach that seminar and start it as my own business, which would then lead into me creating my own material, right? So that's what I did. I started my own business and I started teaching this seminar. I knew nothing about the seminar business. I knew nothing about the coaching business. I knew nothing about putting on seminars, filling seminars, selling them, nothing. And all I did was learn how to teach it. I went to a 3-day weekend where they taught you how to teach the material, and then I was on my own after that. And I quickly had to figure everything out as I went. Now, people are always telling me, what was my lifestyle like at the time? Well, I was married. I had 4 children. And I was working 7 days a week in my business. I worked 7 days a week. Now, I did take time to spend with my family, but, you know, even if it was like an afternoon on a Sunday, that night I would be on the phone making sales calls. So I had an extraordinary work ethic when it came to the success of this. It was not like I sat around and got in a good vibration and everything just started showing up. I did all of that. I controlled my thinking, which was something that I had to work on every day. I kept positive material around me that kept my, you know, to help me control my mind in whatever fear I would be experiencing while I was doing this. I was also learning how to become a master salesperson, which took a few years of really dedicated sales. So I had to learn how to sell on the phone. I had to learn how to sell face-to-face. I had to learn how to sell to large audiences from the stage. I had to learn to sell to other people's audiences. I had to learn how to sell to a cold audience. I had to learn everything. I mean, there was nothing that I didn't. I had to learn how to negotiate contracts with hotels. I had to learn how to manage the money in a way so that there was enough money going back into the business to move it forward, plus pay my bills and grow at the same time. I was also having to master the material I was teaching. I had to learn how to develop and master coaching. All of this is going on. So I'm literally working 7 days a week. I would work sometimes 18 hours a day if I had to. That is not an exaggeration. It wasn't 18 hours every day, but there were a lot of times where there were 18 hours a day. Like I was really, I was all in. And the reason that I was all in was because I wanted this more than anything else in my life. I wanted to, I had a real serious conversation with myself, and the conversation was basically this. We're all going to arrive in our future at some point, right? So take 10 years from now, providing that nothing goes wrong, you're gonna arrive 10 years from now in your life. What you do today and tomorrow and the next day is going to determine how you show up in 10 years. Is your financial situation going to be the same? Are your relationships going to be the same? Or, you know, are things going to get better? Because in 10 years, your life could be so vastly different in a better way than it is right now if you're willing to do what it takes in order for that to happen. I was thinking to myself that I really felt I had all this potential locked up inside of me. But what I also knew was this very hard truth. And a lot of people, they get so starry-eyed or, you know, celebrity-struck or whatever, or they get bright, shiny object syndrome that they really don't think to themselves, look, this is my life. It's only mine. It's not anybody else's. And I'm going to show up in my future. I'm also going to show up on my last day here on Earth, like the day before you die. If you were to catapult yourself in your mind to that day, what would it be like for you to look back at your life and say, I had opportunity and I didn't give it everything that I've got? And when I thought about that for myself, I couldn't accept that. I could accept giving it everything that I had and failing. I really could accept that. Because at least I would have known that I tried, that I gave it my very best. And hey, if I wasn't talented enough or I wasn't cut out for it or that wasn't what my specific thing was, I was totally ready to accept that. But I, you know, I really believed that the journey that I had been on for 7 years was not a pipe dream. It wasn't for nothing. I saw real change in my life. The other people that I had started teaching what I was doing to, I saw change in their life. I knew that it was for a reason. It wasn't like just a joke or chance or a whim or, you know, it was nothing like that. It was really for a reason. And everything that you're going through now and have been going through in your life is for a reason. It's all to set you up to do what you were put here to do. So I knew that if I really got in there and gave it my very best, that I had a really good chance of winning big. And again, I also was very rational about the thought because I had to accept the possibility that I wouldn't be good enough or that it just wasn't my thing. So I had that conversation. And I've had that conversation with thousands of people. And I think it's a conversation you need to have in your own mind. Because if you're going to go after, if you're going to build a business, you're going to be an entrepreneur, you're going to go after your dream, you have to be willing to take risks. There's just no question about it. And when you do this, you're going to make mistakes, which means that you've got to learn from those mistakes as fast as you possibly can. I've made so many mistakes, it's unbelievable. But what I do is I learn from a mistake. I recognize a mistake as fast as I can recognize that it's a mistake. I learn from it, meaning that I ask myself, what didn't I do correctly? And if it's a personal mistake, I'll ask myself, why did I make a poor choice? And then it allows me, then I can correct it, right? Whether I have to do like personal work on myself or I have to learn another skill set or I have to learn a skill set differently, but then I correct it and I go back out and do it again until I get it right. That's what I did with sales. With sales, I would analyze every call that I made, every conversation that I would have. I would be like, where did I lose the person? How come it didn't go right? I would make notes on a legal pad as I was making sales calls. The person lost interest here when I said this, you know, until I started figuring out that there was a psychology to what was happening here in these conversations. And I literally taught myself how to become a very, very good salesperson. But I did that with every single thing in the business. I used to take every task that I had to do and break it down and really set daily goals and weekly goals and monthly goals and yearly goals on how to get better, how to get better, how to get better, how to get better. So the first 7 years that I was in business, I pretty much worked 7 days a week. There was like one vacation that I took in there with my family because it was an important vacation that I had promised them. But outside of that, it was just like balls to the wall. I mean, there was just no stopping. And sometimes I tell people that and they tell me, I don't want to work that hard. And that's when I say, well, that's fine. I mean, if you know that about yourself, that you don't want to work that hard, that's great. But then you really should get a job working for somebody else. Because when you own the company and it's your dream, it's your risk. And here's something else that you need to understand. God gave you the vision that you have for your life. God didn't give anybody else that vision. So don't expect anybody else to understand your vision or see it the way that you do. And don't be upset when they don't. It's your vision. You're the one that's responsible for manifesting it, right? A lot of times I think we get into an idea like, well, if I get this, everybody else will accept it. No. A matter of fact, very often the opposite is true. A lot of people especially that are around you, they don't want to accept that because it's change and it scares them. And you have got to double down on what you're, you know, holding on to that for yourself. That is your responsibility. Remember what Halliwell says here about true desire, because to keep your desire up and fresh in your life, he says that the way to do that is by the continuous expectation of its fulfillment. So you remind yourself of your desire all the time. You write it down. You put it down in tangible goals. You understand what the work is that you have to do to create that desire in your life, and you do that every single day. And you do not allow contrary thoughts or people to take space in your mind. You can't permit it, or you'll never achieve the desire. You'll never manifest it in form in your life. So that was the first 7 years of my business. It was that much work. And then I learned so much about the business, the industry. I had become an excellent coach. I became an excellent teacher. I became excellent on stage. I mastered sales. And now it was about going out and really scaling this thing bigger, to what my goal still is out there in the world. So it became then taking processes and mastering those processes over time. The last count for, like, we have VIP days, which are basically strategy days that we do with people. And I've been doing VIP days now for 10 or 11 years. We're probably, what would you say, Brandon's in here with me. What would you say, Brandon? Well, are we about 700 or 800, is that right, for VIP days? Probably about that. He's saying, yeah. Yeah, so 700 or 800 VIP days in the last 10 years. That's sitting down with people for anywhere from 4 to 8 hours, depending on how long those days were, and really looking at individual businesses, working with their individual mindset, creating strategies for them to win. So when you do something, when you spend that much time with other people on the same problems, you become very good at creating the strategies that people need to get them where they want to go. The only part about it that is the unknown is, are they willing to do it? And if they're willing to do it, they will always get the same result. There's just no question about it. So that's just VIP days, right? Or strategy days. There's hundreds of seminars, speaking engagements, thousands of coaching hours in there. I mean, traveling all over the world. All of that at the same time is taking place. So what is it, what is the word here that you should be thinking of that makes this happen so that you can have the success? It's immersion. I literally immersed myself in everything that I was doing, and I continue to do so. It's my passion. It's what I love to do. I love to help people. I love to see them break through. It's the thing that really jazzes me in life because it happened to me. And I was so astounded that it happened to me that I became just on fire for helping other people that are really stuck in life, helping them walk through that process so that it could happen to them too, so that they literally can experience a completely different life than they ever have before. So the reason, again, for this is to kind of give you a view of the work that I put in behind this, the dedication that's behind it, all the way back from when I was studying. You know, I mean, I really had a passion for doing that. And I think what's important here is to understand that you've got to find what you're passionate about. And when you find what you're passionate about, we can figure out a way to show you how to make money doing that, but you got to find out what you're passionate about. There's kind of a law behind this. It's the more life law, and the idea is this: if you're really passionate about something, it's not just for you. That's how you feel about doing it or whatever it is that you're contributing within that thing that you're passionate about, but it's also for other people. It has a benefit to other people's lives in some way. And where that benefit shows up is probably your opportunity to make money doing it. So take that idea, keep your desire alive, and you know, keep that thing burning bright every day, and really just surrender to the work. Look, we all got to work anyway, right? We might as well put that work and that time into something that is going to allow us to live an extraordinary life. So now you know, that's what it takes. We'll talk to you all again really soon. Have a great day. Thanks for listening to the Successful Mind Podcast. And if you like what you heard and you want to know more, go to davidnagel.com/freestuff.